Welcome to Easter Monday from the Martyrs. I know it's not the official Easter convention, and it would be absolutely impossible for us to replicate that today. But with the convention suspended this year, we thought that at the very least we'd bring you a service putting different elements together and coming through with Easter Monday at the Martyrs. There will be some old material, and there will also be some new. We'll, in the process of the meeting today, take a little walk back through time. And it'll be a quick walk. It'll be a brisk one, and you'll find that out whenever we come to that. The moderator's message, which is a characteristic feature of the convention on a Monday afternoon, that also will be given. And let me thank Reverend Gordon Dean for his willingness to come and accompany us here in Martyrs on this occasion. Then, as I'm sure you'll have heard, after this meeting, at 5 o'clock is the start time for this. There will be a programme that has specially been prepared for children, and again, we're trying to make up a little for the usual convention children's club that runs each year. Links will appear on my Facebook page, and please do look for that on Martyrs' Facebook page as well. And if you don't see anything there or aren't linked into Facebook and you're coming in through Sermon Audio, if you move into YouTube and look under Martyrs Memorial Productions, you'll find the link there to that program. But it'll only become active at 5 o'clock. If you check before that, you will see absolutely nothing. So that's Martyrs Memorial Productions on YouTube, 5 o'clock, and on Facebook, that children's program will be going out. Can I encourage you now, as you're settled, I'm assuming you're not on the beach. If you are, you better get off it quick. But on your couch at home, lying back and tuned in and listening to us today, can I encourage you to, if you're on Facebook, click the little button Watch Party. Start Watch Party now. I had a man contact me last night, and he's done so before, and he had pressed that button, and he said, it was amazing to see the amount of people tuning in to my watch that I shared on Facebook tonight. People who I think would have thought twice about listening to a gospel service. So your friends would see that, and hopefully some of them will join in with you. And that will be very valuable if you can do that today. One other thing. We will be singing, God willing, God be with you till we meet again. And that'll come at the end of the service today. We couldn't really have an Easter Monday of whatever service type without having at the end, God be with you till we meet again. I noticed a suggestion someone posted up on Facebook last night. I'll not embarrass them by identifying them, but they said, why not video your family singing this at home? And I thought, well, that's an excellent idea. It'll be a way whereby you can remember the rather unique circumstances of the year the Easter convention was in lockdown, and we all watched in from home. It'll also provide an answer to the kind of concerned reporter or reporters out there who, for us last night, used the PSNI report line to inform them that yesterday we were conducting full-blown Sunday services as normal in the Martyrs. Now, having wasted the police time on that, we had some very productive conversations with the PSNI since, and they have assured us there was absolutely no problem. We were well within the rules. Well, we knew that. I mean, there was a sum total of 3 cars in our church car park. Anybody would have known we weren't having a full-blown service. So, please, in the family, record the hanky waving, post it up on Martyr's page on Facebook or on my page, and a prize will be awarded to the best hanky display, and it has to be hankies, not tablecloths. And I don't want you clowning around. That won't win the prize. But during this time of lockdown, moving through Facebook, posting things up myself on occasions, I've seen coming in from all arts and parts some fantastic artistic output. And you on this one can be spiritually creative. Let's run with that. So we're having our opening praise, and that's one of the hymns that we have sung in the convention in the past. It's number 91 in our hymn book. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. And I emphasize, the people you're going to see will be folk at a previous Easter convention, and they are not present here today. Tell me the story of Jesus. Bow together in prayer, commit our way unto the Lord this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we're found together, though it is in unusual circumstances, yet still able to reach out to our Free Presbyterian family at large, and to our friends, and to many others that we will be joined in over the internet today. We thank Thee, Lord, for the facilities that we have that enables this service to go out in the format that it is going, despite the current lockdown conditions that we all are subject to. We praise Thee, Lord, that Thou art King, that Thou art Sovereign, that Thou art Lord of Lords. We praise Thee that Thou art the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And at this time of year, characteristically, we remember the fact that the tomb is empty. Because the work on Calvary has been completed, our Savior has risen out with that wonderful triumphant cry, "It is finished," and today He is risen from the dead, and He lives in the power of an endless life. We think of the illustration in Old Testament times, how the children of Israel were making their exit from the land of Egypt. They'd been in bondage, they'd known cruel oppression. The Lord had noted their cry and their travail and their suffering, every piece about that. And He had come and intervened, and He had made a way out. And yet, here they come, and they're facing the Red Sea, that formidable, impenetrable barrier. How are they ever going to get across? And now they see the dust rise behind them, and they know that Pharaoh and his chariots are coming hurtling across the desert, and they have no way out. Yet God is saying, "Go forward." And Father, we thank Thee for making a way for Thy people. And for the enemies who were pursuing them, they went some steps way ahead of themselves that day, and those watery walls came roaring back over them, covered them, and not one of the enemies of Thy people survived on that occasion. And Lord, we think of that in terms of when the Lord Jesus Christ brought deliverance to our hearts, when He defeated the devil, defeated death, defeated all of our sins, paid the penalty in full. We thank Thee for getting us through and onto the other side in the crimson current of Thine atoning blood. Lord, we rejoice for victory that we enjoy today. Victory over sin, victory over the old serpent, victory over temptations, and victory that can only be maintained by constantly coming back to the cross. And so we say today, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all that healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In that cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art in the state of our death, Thou art our life. We thank Thee, Lord, that in the state of our bondage, Thou hast brought us freedom. We thank Thee, Lord, that in the state of our temptation, Thou hast wrought deliverance for us. And we thank Thee, Lord, that though the devil would tie us to the things of time and of sense, and the natural proclivity of our heart would drag us down, we thank Thee, Lord, for the Word of God and the vehicle of prayer, whereby we have constant contact with our great Creator and wonderful Redeemer. We pray for Thy blessing upon this service today. Be with all of those who will assemble in the homes across our country and way beyond in other parts of the world that have indicated they will be tuning in or looking forward to the meeting. We pray it will come with blessing unto all of their hearts. We pray for the families that since we have last met, even since we last met as congregations in our various locations that have lost loved ones. We would think of the Arnold, the Beattie families at this particular time in their day of tragic and terrible bereavement, that Thy hand of mercy and grace and compassion will be round about them, that Thou would enable them to cast all their care upon Thee, knowing that He careth for us. And we recognize how difficult that is, but we pray that Thou wilt give added grace in those very trying circumstances. We think of those who have been taken down by this disease that is rampaging across the world today. Many people who may have been here had we had the service today, but because of the hand of death would not have been able. Many people who may not survive to next year when we trust these services will resume after the natural normal format. And Lord, we would pray that thy hand will be upon every family that knows the visitation of death at this time. May it be that souls who are languishing at this moment, even attached to respirators, we pray that thy hand will be upon them, and may it be there will be a word of ministry that will come to their attention, a word of scripture that perhaps they have heard and learned even as a child. May even the word of the gospel, that gospel in a nutshell, be looming large across their memory. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so perhaps some caught at this moment in the throes of physical death may be alive and awakened by thy Spirit into spiritual life, so that when they depart, all the trumpets will sound on the other side. Another one for whom our great Redeemer died has been brought safely home. Be with us all today as we assemble in this fashion. We pray for thy hand upon every ministry element in this meeting today. In all things, may our great Redeemer be magnified and our risen Lord glorified. And may we do that all, though separate, may we do it together and in sync and from the heart today, worshiping thee in spirit and in truth. Receive our thanks in Jesus' name, and put thy seal of blessing upon this service this day for God's eternal glory. We ask these things. Amen. We have two solos coming one after another, although there will be a little bit of an interlude between the both. You'll find that both are originating out of Mid-Ulster. In fact, all of our musical items today are from Mid-Ulster. I didn't realize that until we pulled the program together and then thought about it. So it was more accidental than it was planned, that's for sure. And so it says to me, Mid-Ulster must be the musical capital of Free Presbyterianism. But first of all, a contribution from a man very well known to all of us, who has been at numerous conventions, maybe 52 of them, almost unbroken. So Reverend William McRae of Macrofelt will now be singing to us The Old Rugged Cross.
For over 50 years, I've been attending the Easter conventions, praising the Lord, joining with God's people, worshipping him, and singing God's praises. One of those old hymns is well known, The Old Rugged Cross. Thank you.
did say that we would have contributions from both sides, I suppose, of the spectrum. So, following that piece from Reverend William McRae, we thank him for that very valuable contribution, and he's taking in a whole swathe of more than 50 years of Easter Convention meetings. Now to the other side, and we're going to hear now from Sophie Shields, who has never sung at the convention before, and I believe last Easter may have been her first convention meeting.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him. I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Yes, Jesus.
Sophie for singing to us, and of course we would have no reason to meet anywhere in any fashion had we not the knowledge that Jesus has paid it all, and all to him we owe. No Easter Monday would be complete without some input from the Whitfield College of the Bible, our academy for training ministers and missionaries for full-time service for Christ. Over the years, the call has gone out from this pulpit for young men and young women to become labourers in the harvest fields of this world. And many, including myself, can trace their route to college and beyond through the Easter Convention meetings at the Martyrs Memorial. So while we can't have the students on full display this year, and I know back as a student, you never wanted to be on display at all, never mind full display. But though they can't be here in person, and I know they had started to practice for the convention for singing, still, we are delighted to be able to present a report from Reverend Timothy Nelson, the principal of the Whitfield College of the Bible.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm very grateful to have this opportunity to say a few words about the Whitfield College of the Bible, even though we can't be together as we would wish to be at this Easter time. Since its establishment 40 years ago, the Whitfield College has had a place in the programme of the annual Easter Convention. The student choir has contributed in song year by year, and reports have been brought. We are glad, therefore, to continue this tradition, albeit in a very different way. The other day, someone asked me if college was closed. Well, yes and no. Regular classes were suspended on the 19th of March, and we don't really expect to return this college year. However, our students continue to have material sent to them, and they are busy preparing assignments which will stand in place of the regular summer examinations. So while we are not coming together as a body, the work goes on throughout the province and beyond. Please remember our students and our lecturers and staff as well. I suppose the fact that I gave a yes and no answer to my friend's question flags up the thought that college means different things in different contexts. Yes, it's about premises. In recent years, as you know, we have been working in space made available to us at the Jubilee Complex. We are thankful for this provision, but it's just a temporary measure. Our presbytery has taken the decision to accept the gift of a site for purpose-built premises from the Tanragee congregation. We have begun the journey that will see the realization of this project, and I hope in the months and years to come that you will share in our vision for this new location. But college is about people. The people who make up the college community right now, and the many supporters across the country, and of course the people who will become part of this community in the future. I think of those who are preparing, God willing, to start out with us in September, and others who are thinking further ahead. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone who is exercised about future service. Pray that the Lord will make his will clear to you, that you will have the settled conviction that study at the Whitfield College of the Bible is for you. Speak to your minister or to me, and we will seek to help however we can. As I draw these few remarks to a close, may I acknowledge the support of all who remember us in prayer, and all who provide for us financially. We could not continue without you. It's as simple as that. We couldn't continue without you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. May I ask you to pray for us. Pray for our current students as they move towards the close of this college year. Pray for those who will finish in 2020, that God will open doors of opportunity for them. Pray for those who seek to begin this year, that everything will fall into place for them. Pray for all our lecturers and staff as they shoulder the burden of labour week by week. Pray for our college committees, academic and management, who administer and oversee what we do. Pray for our building project, that the Lord will overrule at every point, and that he will be glorified by everything we do. And pray for me. Pray for me that I might have wisdom and strength to do what I can to make our college the best it can be for the Lord. Thank you all. May God bless you, and may you continue to know his presence and protection in these testing times.
We're coming now to our second hymn today, and again, it's a very major hymn, which we always sing at resurrection time. Of course, that's every Lord's Day that we can remember the Lord's rising from the grave, but it's 116 in our book, "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord." It was written by Dr. Robert Lowry, and he was an excellent preacher, we're told, preached from the mid through to the late 1800s. I got this quote about him, this description of his abilities. He was always a brilliant and interesting speaker. Very few men had greater ability in painting pictures from the imagination. He could thrill an audience with his vivid descriptions, inspiring others with the same thoughts that had inspired him. And I thought that in the context of this particular hymn, "Lo, in the grave he lay, waiting the coming day," he's building a picture. It's one of Robert Lowry's tremendous and characteristic vivid descriptions. And so let's encourage each of us to try and picture this as we sing it today. "Lo, in the grave he lay." I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in today and for being part of our audience out there, though you are looking in from the comfort of your own home today. I'd like to thank our media team for assembling all of this, and there's a lot of background work, as you could well imagine, in the preparation for today. Now, usually at the convention, there is a horde of announcements come running through. In fact, whenever the presbytery took over the role of organizing the convention, they were forced to limit the announcements to presbytery-only related announcements. Otherwise, they would have been announcing every single event in the country for days on end, maybe even reporting on Aunt Aggie's corn in her foot and Granda Billy's spot on his nose and all this kind of stuff. So now that this isn't a presbytery event, Allow me to take advantage and announce everything. No, I'm not going to. I have one announcement, Kids Club, after this meeting, coming in round about 5 o'clock. And do please tune in for that, as we've said already, Martyrs Memorial Productions on YouTube or on my Facebook page or the Martyrs Facebook page. There will be links going up there after the meeting today for 5 o'clock. Throughout this COVID-19 crisis, we have lavished praise on our NHS, and they deserve our support. They're working in a sector that has been consistently underfunded and understaffed. And that fact has been chiefly responsible for the government's policy of a lockdown. But like all of our congregations, we have several of our people working in the NHS, some on the front line of this coronavirus outbreak. Now we have a short clip, very short. I don't even think it runs to 30 seconds, but that's exactly what he was asked to contribute from our youngest worker.
That's where it's found in Genesis 16, verse 13, which is, "Thy God seest me," and that's been a real comfort as I would have contact with people with coronavirus.
I'd like to thank Adam, complete with his COVID crew cut, as he described it himself, for that contribution and for the important note that he emphasised in that little clip. In this crisis, we all need to seek the face of God and look to him for special protection. May we never lose sight of the truth that our trust, ultimately, is not in horses or in chariots, in governments, or even in the NHS, much as we value and appreciate them, but it is in a sovereign God. We know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. And that when our praise is being allocated, we don't forget that Jesus holds the highest station. Oh, what joy that sight affords! Crown him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that leads me on to our next couple of items of praise, and we will have a duet from Reverend Marcus and Mrs. Cherith Lecking, and that topic in the duet is "He'll Carry Me." We'll have that first.
Hear the cries of the shackled from the onset of time, for the chains of defeat there's no key. See the tears of the broken, the cries of the slaves. Is there no one worthy to set us free?
I did say at the beginning that there would be contributions from Mid-Ulster in terms of all of the singing. And what you have just listened to, I'm sure you'll have identified where they're from.
I'd like to thank the
Macrophil Choir, going back, I think, to maybe 2014 or thereabouts. But we thank them for singing to us that very relevant and uplifting piece, "Worthy the Lamb that was slain." We did promise that Reverend Marcus and Mrs. Leckie would be here to sing, and I am anticipating, as you are, that they are going to come next.
I'd like to thank the Reverend Brown for inviting us to sing. I trust that you're blessed by this piece.
Calvary, struggled just to stand beneath the load. The blood spilt on his hands and on his clothing. Still Joseph sang as he stumbled down the road. I'll carry him. My shoulders, I'll bear the marks, endure the shame, I'll serve my friend till life is over, and that is when the world will see.
Every step his mind replayed the memory of the day the Lord had made his life anew. Yet the load on Joseph's back was not so heavy compared to the promise that was waiting at the tomb.
We'd like to thank the Reverend Leckie and his wife for ministering in song to us. And could I, on behalf of everybody, thank the Reverend Brown and the sound technicians here at the Martyrs Memorial for putting together the programme that we have had today. And we miss the Easter convention, but in the circumstances, we are glad that we have had the opportunity of broadcasting the precious Word of God. Now, I wonder if you could turn with me today to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and I'm going to read from the 14th verse of the chapter, the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and beginning our reading at the 14th verse of the chapter. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. We'll end our reading there, knowing that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Can we unite together, please, at the throne of grace in prayer? Our loving and our gracious God, we thank thee for the opportunity we have had this day of meeting around thy word. We thank thee for the praises that have ascended to thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the program that has been put together. And we thank thee, our God, for the wonder of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the one who is the resurrection and the life. We thank thee for the one who is our God. We thank thee for the one who is sovereign, who is powerful, who is mighty. And O God, we pray that even as we gather around thy word today, that thou wouldst enable us to see our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. May he have all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. My text is a well-known one today. It's verse 25, where it says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The statistics over the coronavirus make very grim reading. Yesterday, the number of deaths in the United Kingdom past the 10,000 mark. There are about 80,000 confirmed cases at the moment. The disease has continued to cause devastation around the world.
We think of how there have been about 20,000 deaths in the United States and about 250,000 of those that have been affected by the disease. But the statistics do not carry really the devastation that is behind them. We think of the grieving homes, and we think of the families and homes that have been devastated by what has taken place as loved ones have been taken in the midst of all of this. We think of how many have not been able to give a proper farewell, and even in some cases they have not even been able to go to the funeral of their loved one. And of course, in the midst of all this, it has given way to despair. Well, there are many people who are anxious and frightened, and there are those that do not know what the future may hold. We have many questions. We wonder how the lockdown will come to an end. Will there be another surge of this illness? What will happen in the days that lie ahead? Maybe you're anxious for a vulnerable loved one. You're just wondering what will take place in the days that lie ahead. But one thing that this crisis has brought is that it has brought us to see our own mortality and the uncertainty of life. And I think it's no bad thing that we have come face to face with those realities. But the question that we ask today is there any hope in the midst of all this? Is there something that we can cling on to? Is there a message that will enable us to take courage in the midst of the uncertainties of life? And the wonderful thing about Christianity and the wonderful thing about the Word of God is that there is a message of hope. And one of the things that gives hope to us is the resurrection message of Christ. And the story here is one that perhaps is familiar to you. You will remember how that Lazarus, the friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, was sick. There was a message sent to the Savior to say that Lazarus was sick. But we find that the Lord Jesus did not go immediately to meet his friend. Instead, he tarried where he was. And you remember how died in the meantime. And by the time that the Lord Jesus got to where Lazarus was, he was already 4 days in the tomb. And the funeral was in full swing. A Jewish funeral would have gone on for a number of days. So when the Lord Jesus came, there was still the funeral going on. It was a scene of grief. It was a scene of sorrow. It was a scene of mourning. And we read that Martha went out to meet the Savior when he was coming. And we read how the Lord said to her, he said, "Thy brother shall rise again." Now, Martha perhaps is a very accurate picture of an anxious believer. She was the type of person who truly believed, but she had not enough confidence to cast and lay aside all her cares. And you notice the objections that Martha voiced when the Lord told her the fact that Lazarus would rise again. She said in verse 24, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And she was content to believe in a future resurrection. She was thinking of a day to come. To her, the promise was unreal, impersonal. But look at what else she said in verse 22. She says, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Yes, she believed in the power of Christ. She believed, maybe not fully, in all that he could do or all that he was. She did not fully believe in his power to sustain and to give life. But I want you to see that the Lord did not chide her or rebuke her. We find that instead, with a gentle spirit, the Lord showed her more things concerning himself. And he makes the mighty statement in verse 25. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Poor Martha was looking for a resurrection to come, but she was looking in the very face of the one who is the resurrection. And men and women, the message that we need and our world needs and our country needs at this time is to see the one who is the resurrection and the life, the one who is our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to this declaration of his in our text of Scripture, how he says, I am the resurrection and the life, I hope and I am praying today that you might, in the midst of all that we face and all that surrounds us and all the uncertainties that we have, see the one who is the resurrection and the life. So for a few minutes today, I just want us to think about the Lord's declaration here of who he was. And the first thing that I want you to see is the setting of the declaration. I want you to see the surrounding circumstances in which the Lord gives these words. And the first thing that I want you to see is that it is in a setting of disease. Lazarus was sick. And now that the Lord Jesus was told that he was sick, we're not informed here how he was sick or what he was sick of, but we know that here there was some disease. You see, disease comes even on those whom the Lord loves. We have no indication here that the disease that Lazarus had was any kind of chastisement or punishment for his sins. We know that there are times when sickness can come as a chastisement from God. For example, in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 15, it says, so the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. So there are times when the Lord sends pestilence and disease. We think too of the paralyzed man that the Lord healed. And you remember how the Lord said to him, son, thy be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. So there was evidently something in his illness that was to do with sin. But we also know that the Apostle Paul suffered from persistent illness, and it was not a result of any specific sin. And at the end of the day, all illness and all disease is a result of the sin at the fall. But we cannot say that any specific illness is as a result of a chastisement of God. Some people will say today that COVID-19, the coronavirus, is a judgment from God. And it may well be. We have a world that has turned away from God, a world that is rejecting God. And I wouldn't be surprised if God was not speaking in this day through what is taking place. But we cannot say categorically today that it is a punishment. It may not. It may just be that man has been meddling with the nature that is around us. But I can certainly say this, that in this crisis, as in every other crisis and in every other disaster, there is a message. I think of what the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 13. We read there about some disasters that had taken place. We read about how Herod had mingled the blood of some of the Galileans with the sacrifices that they had made. We read also about a tower in Siloam that had fallen and had killed some people. And of course, it was the talk of that day and generation. And many were saying that it was a result of the sins of the people that this had taken place. And the Lord said to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. And then he answered the question and he said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And the Lord was saying, we shouldn't be focused upon whether these people are being punished by God or not. What we should focus upon is the message that is coming through. And there is certainly a message that is coming through from this coronavirus. And it is a message that we are all dying and we don't know when it will be. And there's another message. It's the same message that the Lord gave to the people in his day. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And that's the message that you need to hear. And that's the message that comes loud and clear through all that is taking place in this day and generation. So we see the setting here. It's a setting of disease. It's also a setting of delay. The Lord was strangely absent when this disease was ravaging the body of his friend. As he said, he was told about what's taking place, but then he delayed his coming. It says in John 11 and 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, it wasn't that Lazarus had a sniffle. He was deadly ill. He was dying. And Martha and Mary knew that, and the Lord knew that. But the Lord deliberately stays away. He delays his coming. And you think of how he loved Lazarus. He spent a lot of time with Lazarus and with Martha and with Mary. And you know, when you're told that a loved one is ill, your automatic reaction is to go and help them, to go and be with them. And here is the Lord, and he delays his coming. And we ask, why? Why is the Lord delayed? Why is it that the Lord is not there with them in the time of their need? But you know what it does remind us is that oftentimes God's ways are not our ways. You know what it says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 8 to 9. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And it's good to remember that. We all think of those that are hurting at this time. There are preachers who have died. There are well-known servants of God who have been taken by this virus. There are loved ones. There are friends who are suffering. And there are times when we just ask, why? Why is the Lord allowing these things? But we always need to remember that God knows the end from the beginning. We know that in the midst of it all, we can be confident in our God. We can place our hands in his hands, and here he was in the midst of it all. And in the end, he drew near to Mary and to Martha. But I see the words here. The setting is disease and delay. But then I want you to see the setting is a setting of despair. Here's a family who've been left mourning. They're missing their loved one. Their loved one has passed into eternity. And you think of the words of Martha in the verse 21. She almost rebukes the Lord. She said, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. There's a little bit of accusation there. You see, here she is and she's anxious. And you know, at times when we're anxious, we're not thinking straight. You know, sometimes when God's people are faced with a crisis in their life, and when things really get difficult in their lives, somehow they lose sight and begin to forget some of the fundamental things that they should believe in and should trust in and should hold on to. And that's why we need to make sure that those things are written on our heart. You know, the Lord did come to meet her in her despair. When it was the Lord's time, when it was the best time. And let me tell you that in your despair, today the Lord will draw near alongside you, and he'll put his loving arms around you. The setting is a setting of despair, but then it is a setting of death. Death had entered into the home. Death is the enemy. Death is the last enemy. Death is an abomination. And you know what blight has been brought by death. How many homes, how many families have been wrecked by death at this time? You hear the stories on the news. We heard the other day about a little 5-year-old girl that had passed out into eternity. The other day we heard about an 11-year-old. And at the same time we read or were told in the news about someone of 104 who had been taken by this disease. We have heard patients that have come out of the wards and have recovered, and they have spoken about the awful place it is on these wards, and we think of the awful scenes that are taking place. Death has entered in. Oh, what an awful thing death is. But death is democratic. Death comes to all. You know, there are young people I have heard of, and they have said that when they go to funerals, they never even think about death or eternity. But you know, maybe at this time, you've begun to think about these things. Death is the most democratic experience. We all must needs die. You know, I often pass the accident emergency at the Ulster Hospital, and you see the ambulances sitting out, and sometimes as you pass by, somebody has been wheeled out, somebody has taken a stroke, somebody has taken a heart attack, somebody has been involved in an accident, and it reminds you that life can change with a snap of a finger. It can all change so suddenly. We need to remember that death comes, and that the Lord might teach us to number our days. We see the setting of the Lord's declaration. But then I want you to see the solution of his declaration. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Is there a solution to death and to despair and to disease and all of these things? I'm glad that there is. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the solution. And I want you to see that he is a sure solution. I want you to see that the Lord steps into the midst of death here, into the midst of the gloom, into the midst of the despair, and he is a sure solution. And he demonstrates that in what he does in the situation here in which he was found. Here is Lazarus. He's in the tomb. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. The Jews did not embalm people when they buried them. They would wrap them up in the shroud, and they would put in a few spices and some perfumes, but they did not embalm the bodies. In the Eastern heat, I read something about what it would do to the body, and I'll spare you that today. But let's say just that the body would begin to break down. When Martha said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, that's exactly what was going to take place. So this is a man beyond ordinary intervention. But I want you to see what happens. First of all, the Lord steps in and he says, roll away the stone. And then he looks to heaven and he prays to heaven and cries unto his Father. And then he speaks to the dead man and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And then we read in verse 44, it says, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Oh, the Lord had said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And now, here right before her eyes, the truth of that, the surety of that, the certainty of that is demonstrated. And thank God that he is the resurrection and the life. One day he will bring his people out of the grave. But even in the meantime, it says in Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins, made spiritually alive. Christ is the one who gives life in the midst of all of this situation. It is a sure solution. He is a sure solution. Not only is he a sure solution, he is a sovereign solution. Here is Christ. He demonstrates his power. He is the one who can control life and death. And indeed, we can see the mighty power that he has here. And as he says, I am the resurrection and the life, he is actually taking the prerogative of God. You know that there are those who have said that the Lord Jesus never claimed to be God when he was upon this earth. They say something along the lines that it was made up by Paul or somebody else later on, maybe hundreds of years later, and then people began to fall in with this. But there, in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, we have the seven I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the I am there is the tetragrammaton. It is the I am Jehovah. I am the God of resurrection and of life. He didn't say, I can raise the dead. He said, I am the resurrection. He didn't say, I can pray to the Father and he can give life. He says, I am the life. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20, Moses said this, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. The Lord is life. So when the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he is claiming the prerogative of God. He is claiming who he is. He is the mighty God. Oh, let's see him as he is. Many have tried to bring him down, bring Christ down to the level of man, tried to, as it were, demean him, treat him lightly. Oh, we don't treat him lightly today. He is the very God of heaven. He is the great I am. Let's exalt him. Let's praise him. Let's glorify him. Not only is he the sure solution and the sovereign solution, but I want you to see he is the suitable solution. If the problem is death, then the suitable solution is resurrection and life. And the Lord is saying to Martha, Martha, I'm exactly what you need. He says, I'm what you need, what Lazarus needs. Listen to what he says, verse 25. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's for Lazarus. And then he says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He says, Martha, that's for you. I will rescue Lazarus, body and soul, from the grave. And as for you, Martha, if you believe in me, you'll have eternal life. There won't be a millisecond when you'll be out of my love and out of my saving fellowship, and God will be with you. And child of God, what I want you to see is the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who can meet all of your needs. If the problem is dearth, he's the water of life. If the problem is lies, he's the truth. If the problem is that you've wandered, he's the way. If the problem is drudgery and dullness, he's the true vine. And if the problem is death, he's the resurrection and the life. And I want you to see that he's the one that you need in this day and generation. Unsaved person listening in today, he's the one that you need. He's the one that you must trust in. He'll bring life. He'll bring blessing. He'll bring joy to your life. He is a suitable solution. He also is a sacrificial solution. You see, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, life is an attribute of deity. But resurrection, in some ways, is something that is true of the incarnate Son of God. Because in order to be a resurrection, to raise from the dead, you've got to die. And in a peculiar way, the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection. He died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He shed his own precious blood on Calvary's tree, and he did not stay there, but up from the grave he arose with that mighty triumph over his foes. He is the one who demonstrates his love by going to the cross and shedding his blood that we might be redeemed. He's the sacrificial lamb. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's the one who bore my sins in his own body on the tree. In John 14 and verse 21, the Lord says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself unto him. Oh, what a wonderful statement. He will manifest himself to those that he has redeemed. Are you redeemed today? Are you washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? One more thing. He's a singular solution. I am the resurrection. No other. There's no other way but this. We can ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross we miss. There's no other that we can go to. We thank God for the medical profession. We thank God for the doctors and nurses. We thank God for the politicians who are looking after things and making sure that all the logistics are brought through. But dear friend, for our world, for our country, for our people around us, in the end of the day, he is the only solution. He's the one who brings life to the dead. But one more thing that I want you to see here, and that's the significance of the declaration. You see, I want you to see that if the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, it means something. The first significance is that faith will be seen. Do you notice the question that the Lord asked Martha? In verse 26, the Lord says, and whosoever and liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The Lord makes this gracious appeal to Martha. He says, believest thou this? He calls her to make a response. Like any good preacher, he makes, as it were, a desire or an appeal for a response. He's made a big claim, a very big claim. We have seen what it was. Now he wants the response. Believest thou this? This eternal life was promised to those that believe. Dear friend, there's a challenge if you're unsaved today. Dear friend, you've got to come by faith. He says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Living and believing are set together there. They go together. You've got to believe. You've got to receive the one who is the life. He doesn't say, he that loveth me, although those that come to him must love him. He doesn't say, he that serveth me, although those that come to him will serve. It doesn't even say, he that imitates me, although that's what we do when we are Christians. We imitate him and follow him. But he says, he that believeth in me. Why does he exalt faith? Because faith makes us trust in him. Faith takes the crown and places it on the head of our Redeemer. It says, I can't do anything, but Christ can do it all. Believest thou this? Isn't that the challenge for you? It's the challenge too for the child of God. Are we walking by faith? Are we following by faith? Where is your faith in the midst of an upside down world? Are you resting in Christ today? Is your faith strong? As I say, many of God's people, when it comes into the crises of life, somehow forget all that they've been told. Where does our hope lie? Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. The significance here is that faith will be seen, and then fear will be dealt with. The fact that Christians believe in the one who is the resurrection and the life has been the reason why they have gone out into this world and faced many things without fear. The last words of the great reformer John Knox were, "Live in Christ, live in Christ, and the flesh need not fear death. The fear of death is gone, because Christ is the resurrection and the life." Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, in the closing months of his life, said to a friend, "I'm so weak, I can't read my Bible, I can't pray, I can only lie in God's arms. A little child is a little child in trust." And we think of how, in this portion of Scripture, death is spoken of as sleep. He says, the Lord says in John 11 and verse 11, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." And you find later on how he's evidently speaking about his death. And it's not the only place in the Bible where death is spoken of as sleep. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep will God bring with him." I want to say to you, if you believe in Christ today, we can look death in the face and we can say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" It deals with fear. He's the resurrection and the life. But one more thing, the significance. Not only will faith be seen, fear be dealt with, but fervency will be present. I think of what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, real life is to follow Christ. Real life is to know Christ. Real life is being united to Christ and in union with Christ. And being in union with Christ, we go out to make Christ known to a wicked and sinful world. We think of how the Savior was clad with zeal as a cloak. He went about doing good. He sought to bring his message of hope and life and joy to those that are round about. Dear friend, if the life of God is in you, you'll seek to do the same. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody, and in the midst of all this crisis, you've been reassessing your life, and God has been speaking to you. You're a child of God. And maybe you've been thinking, well, I need to spend my life doing something that will matter for eternity. God has been challenging you. Oh, what a life it is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. In the midst of death and disease and despair that's all around us today, here is the message that we need to hear, that we need to proclaim, that men and women out there need to heed and listen to, that Christ is the answer to all of our need. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy precious word today. And we pray that Thou wouldst come in power and that men and women might see the One who is the resurrection and the life. Bless Thy word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.
That's some good singing in the opening hymn.
Thank you.
come to the final hymn, and I'm thinking for those children who are saying to their parents right now, that Bible club is on. Will you turn over? It was starting at 5 o'clock. Well, it hasn't started yet. We haven't yet pressed go. And we won't do until this meeting is completely over. And then 5 minutes after we end, we will put on the Bible club. So I was a little optimistic. And we have had a wonderful sermon from our brother Gordon Dean, our minister in Crossgar, moderator of our presbytery. And of course, the most important part of any meeting is God's word being proclaimed. And we'd like to thank him on your behalf for bringing that message, pointing to Christ, the one who is the resurrection and the life. But we're turning, and if you were here, I'd be saying we're turning to hymn number 720 in our hymn book. But it is the hymn, God Be With You Till We Meet Again. At our prayer meeting a few weeks ago in Martyrs, because we knew the lockdown would most likely be coming in, we sang this hymn. It was rather emotional. I think because of our circumstances now, this might be one of the more emotional times that we have joined together in singing the hymn. I hope you've got your cameras ready and you're entering the competition that we're running, and we'll put it up on Facebook afterwards, and you've got your hankies out. That is absolutely vital. I brought two hankies, just in case there would be a technical hitch on the hankies today, because we were expecting a hitch somewhere along the line, everywhere along the line, but the Lord's been very good to us, and our technicians have been doing a sterling job behind the scenes. But if you get your hanky out, I trust our camera is on Mr. Dean right now, just to check that he is his hanky. I knew he had. I wouldn't, of course, embarrass anybody, would I? I knew he'd have a hanky, and we are going to sing, God Be With You Till We Meet Again. And the clip you're about to see will be from a previous time when we met together here. And let's trust it won't be too long until we can do that again. God be with you till we meet again. You men all ready? Hope you have them all washed, dried, like mine, ironed. I was tempted to bring my Leeds flag or scarf, but I know this brother would hold it up with me, but nobody else, and that wouldn't just be in order. So we will have hankies waved on the chorus, and I think what was being done here way back years ago, where this came from, was they were waving off missionaries as they were going out to serve the Lord in foreign lands, and so they're boarding the ship. And if you're down by the docks, your hanky isn't going to sit like that. It'll drift along. So let's lift them up high on the chorus only now of 720. Let's stand together, please, as we sing, God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you.
together in prayer as we close our meeting today. Let me thank you for tuning in, following through. I've seen the audience has been pretty stable, very high the whole way through, and we thank you for being part of this Easter Monday at the Martyrs today. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we close on this note, and we know it is a regular note, our traditional note, that we are praying, God be with you, till we meet again. We can't help but note the poignancy of the lines in some of these verses. Keep love's banner, keep it floating o'er you, smite death's threatening wave before you. We have that around us today. God be with you till we meet again. Lord, we pray that I will stay the hand of this particular plague, that I will in mercy rescue many lives, that I will prove to be on that spiritual level as well as physical. I am the resurrection and the life. Neither, as our brother has preached today, there may there be many, so many, that will believe on thee. May all of our ministers know the power of heaven attending to all of their varied efforts at this moment in time. The double bless them, the double cause the word to a free course, the double cause the Lord Jesus to be magnified. When it comes that the hand of death is stayed in this plague, restrictions are relaxed, and the people of God assemble again, may there be more than ever will attend to the means of grace, will come to the house of the Lord, will give him thanks for his hand protecting them, for his wing covering them, for his mercy towards them. And like Lot, may we join together and cry, thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. Save many lives, we pray. Convert many souls unto righteousness. Magnify and exalt thy great name, the person and the work of our blessed Savior and our loving Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for tuning in. Our meeting is over. The children's meeting will begin in approximately 5 minutes. The links will go up, and you'll be able to enjoy that as well. Enjoy the rest of this Easter time. May the Lord protect you. May he graciously look after you. And may you know much of his blessing and his presence. Send those little videos in. I trust you were able to take them. It's not just a manufactured effort. What it will do is show that sense of community and family that we share together. Thank you. May the Lord bless you.